Foreign Minister Penny Wong has chosen Human Rights Day to announce Magnitsky-style sanctions against 13 Russian and Iranian individuals and two entities in response to human rights abuse. Wong has described these sanctions as a means of holding human rights abusers to account in situations where dialogue has proven ineffective. Tamar Pilibosian asked Anton Mozyensko, lecturer in the School of Law at the Australian National University, what Magnitsky-style sanctions are.
They are asset freezes and travel bans. So in simple terms, if you end up being sanctioned under Magnitsky legislation, all your property in Australia is frozen, so you still own it but you can't use it, and you cannot enter Australia.
Why is Australia imposing sanctions against targets in from Iran and Russia?
It's a complicated question because fundamentally when you have a law in place that enables you to impose sanctions because of human rights abuse or corruption, you're faced with a situation where there's an infinite number of cases you could address. There's no shortage of corruption and human rights abuse in the world. So there are very many deserving targets. And then it's up to each state, for example, Australia, to decide whom they want to prioritize and on what basis. So why Russia or Iran? One part of the answer is they are as good a target as any. But I would imagine that the other part of the answer is that the diplomatic relations between Australia on the one hand and Russia and Iran on the other hand are pretty strained already, so there's not much love lost between the countries anyway, and so it's politically easy to go after targets in those countries. And I'm not saying that to suggest that the decision is wrong or politically motivated. I'm just saying that that's the reason why Russia and Iran are, in that sense, easier targets than some other countries around the world.
Is this the first time Australia imposing this type of sanctions?
It's the second time, but the first time also related to a batch of people from Russia, and those were the people involved in the Magnitsky case itself, so the mistreatment of the tax accountant that I mentioned and also the fraud that he had uncovered. So in essence, Australia has not yet sanctioned anyone under those laws except people from Russia or Iran.
And what can Magnitsky sanctions achieve?
In principle, as I said, they mean that the people who are sanctioned have their assets frozen and cannot enter Australia. But A, there's no guarantee that they actually have assets in Australia. We don't know that. And B, maybe they never wanted to go to Australia in the first place. So the real impact is symbolic. It's to say we're aware of what you've done and we condemn that. There can also be practical impact because the way that Magnitsky sanctions tend to operate is that once one country sanctions you, other countries with similar legislation are more likely to consider sanctioning you as well. And so you might end up in a situation where first you were targeted by Australia and then you get targeted by the US, Canada, the UK, and so on. And that can have an impact on you, but that doesn't happen all the time. So for now, the impact is symbolic. Whether it gets converted into something more tangible in the future, we'll see.
Are we expecting further sanctions against Russia and Iran?
Well, I don't know. It's a difficult one. So I think Russia, it's important to mention that in the context of Russia in particular, it's not only Magnitsky-style sanctions that are in place. There is a whole swathe of other sanctions that have been put in place against Russia, simply on a different legal basis, not based on the Magnitsky laws, which deal with corruption and human rights abuse, as I mentioned.
Anton Mozyensko, lecturer in the School of Law at the Australian National University, speaking with Tamar Pilibosian.